Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke, Condo with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
It's Mr. Ben Arrington.
Have you got a drink?
I've got a lovely mug of English tea with no sugars, just straight from the teat of the PG Tips man. your mug's lovely. Your mug says hers.
It's Cat's. Yeah, but it's
don't need to make excuses for me, mate. We're all gender fluid in 2020. It's fine.
It's hot Ribena.
It's hot Ribena. Okay, that's delicious.
It is delicious. A little bit sweet. And it's making my mouth. It's making my mouth shrink. I can feel my cheeks sort of getting smaller.
Puckering.
Yeah.
Hot Ribena. Is the kind of thing I think I'd have when I was feeling a little bit iffy. I'm feeling a little bit iffy today, so maybe hot Ribena should have been my go-to, but I've got no Ribena in the house, you know? Is Vimto in the same category as that? No, it's fizzy, isn't it?
Do you know Vimto is made from figs?
What? I mean, no, I didn't know that.
In Manchester, this is where Vimto is from. There's a giant fig sculpture, and apparently that's what they make Vimto with, figs.
Who decided to put figs in a soft drink that is essentially, you would think, some sort of blackcurrant fizzy mess. See, I've never quite trusted Vimto, and now I feel like I know why. I've always been a bit
like, figs this whole time. Yeah, but I mean, it still tastes pretty good. I don't like fig rolls. Not a fan of those.
No, they're weird. Yeah.
They're weird. Yeah.
I don't understand. They're trying to be because if someone went, do you fancy this fizzy fig drink, you go, no, get it away from me. Do you fancy some Vimto? Yeah, all right, actually, if someone offered me Vimto, I think I'd always say yes, because
it's the name fig. That does not sound tasty. If it was like, it had berry in it, like berry. All the berries are good.
You're right.
Have you got any horror news?
There's a couple of things going down this week, which I've noticed. So apparently, this is one of those horror news stories that kind of annoys me a bit, because it's like, it doesn't really give you any information apart from, I don't know, a date, which is kind of annoying. I feel like I want more solid information, but apparently Universal will release Jordan Peele's next horror movie. Now, Jordan Peele as in Jordan Peele directing rather than Jordan Peele producing, because he's producing it all. So apparently a year ago, he inked a 5-year exclusive production partnership with Universal, which I'm assuming doesn't include Get Out and Us. I'm assuming just him and his company, Monkey Paw Productions. So it's him directing, writing and producing two movies as part of that deal. Okay. That's a bit confusing, but I think I understand. So this movie will be out in 2022, July the 22nd, and that's it. That's literally it. I mean, it feels like I shouldn't have made this a horror news, but we discussed last week that he's producing the People Under the Stairs remake, so seems like a nice follow-on from that.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure I saw something. I mean, I know this is happening, but Ben Wheatley has made a horror movie in lockdown.
Yeah.
In the Earth. That's what it's called. In the Earth. And it's about killer trees or killer plants or something like that.
Yeah. The Happening too.
As the world searches for a cure to a disastrous virus, a scientist and park scout venture deep in the forest for a routine equipment run. Through the night, their journey becomes a terrifying voyage through the heart of darkness, the forest coming to life around them. That's pretty cool.
I like it when anything is described as the heart of darkness.
Yeah.
Either traveling into the heart of darkness.
Vimto is the heart of darkness of drinks.
The fig of darkness. Yeah. Isn't Ben Wheatley doing the Meg 2? Is apparently, that?
Yeah, and Tomb Raider 2. All the big budget sequels is on him. He is a very interesting like filmmaker, mainly for like what he chooses to do. I've not seen Rebecca yet.
No, me neither. So apparently, yeah, you're right. I think I'd heard about the Tomb Raider 2 thing, but kind of brushed it off as possibly something that wasn't actually happening. But it does look like it is actually happening. Ben Wheatley is all over it. Do you think he's just going, let's do some big blockbuster to establish myself as more of a household name?
I think.
And then
he just seems to be having fun, like making stuff. Like he seems to be quite. Like he just wants to have a go at everything, potentially.
I mean, to be fair, if you were going to get, let's make a film about a giant shark with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
I'd be all over
I've
that.
I've not seen the Meg once. Does Jason Statham live through it? I guess he does.
I think so. Sorry to ruin that for you. No, you're only going. He was the shark all along. Yeah, I think he lives. So could be interesting. I mean, it was fun. It was ridiculous and it was fun. So, Tomb Raider, I think, was okay as well. Another one that wasn't particularly great. Didn't change my life. Didn't make me go, that's what a Tomb Raider movie adaptation should be. No, yeah. It didn't make me feel like that, but it was fine. Any other news? So, apparently, did you say that you saw that in Pettigore?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You did see that? Okay. Because I noticed this and I thought I'd read it. I'd talk about it, because I haven't seen it yet. But apparently, they've officially submitted it to the Academy Awards. It's officially Indonesia's submission for the Academy Awards. What did you... So, do you think, is that
good.
The first Shudder film that's going to be submitted to the Academy Awards? I suppose we wouldn't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But you said it was good, didn't you?
It's really good, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it'll win an Academy Award, but it's a really good, dark, fairy tale horror movie sort of thing. It is really good. I would advise people to watch it.
Yeah, I think I need to check it out. So, I mean, I know horror movies have been often overlooked. I know we've had some big ones over the years that have been nominated for Academy Awards, but do you think we should be getting more horror films nominated for Academy Awards, or do you think it's own a category? I mean, then you're just opening a whole can of worms. I almost said tub of worms.
A whole tub of worms, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've got the Chainsaw Awards, haven't we? Is that the Fangorian Chainsaw?
That counts. We don't need recognition from the old Academy Awards and all those suits and ties and stuck-up film snobs.
I mean, horror movies are getting artier and artier, so
yeah.
I think if they're going to get an Academy Award, it'd be sometime soon. In Pettigore, it's not going to be the one. It might get a foreign film nod of some sort.
I was thinking this the other day, because of the film we watched today and a certain Letterboxd review of it. And it got me thinking, what on earth was the budget of this film?
It must have been pretty big, yeah.
It must have been pretty big. And I was thinking what the average budget of a horror film is these days.
10 million?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? 10 million?
I think the Letterboxd review said that House of Wax cost 40 million.
I would have even said it might have been more than that, because, like, the production, there's a whole house of wax.
There's a whole house of wax. Yeah, and they had to make all the extras turn. They had to make them out of wax as well.
Yeah,
and this got to the point where everything was wax. You didn't know what was and what wasn't wax.
Yeah, like the cake thing. Everyone thinks stuff is cake. Everyone's secretly wax.
That was, do you know what? That was a good... A lot of people slate 2020 as being a complete write-off. But as we go into the tail end of it, and some things start to be possibly going right, depending on whether you believe that or not, I'm looking back at the certain parts of 2020 that I think will stay with me. And there was a good week or two where everything was cake. And that felt like it was a wholesome time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good week. I do like cake. It was about the right time as well, because I was in a kind of a cakey mood. So I kept buying those Madeira cakes from Asda.
Yeah. And watching the videos while you ate a Madeira cake and then carried on into your hand and then realised hand was flesh. So apparently there's also going to be a Christmas-themed Creepshow holiday special coming to Shudder in December. How many Creepshow specials have we got? I know there was an animated one around Halloween as well, wasn't there?
Wait, is the animated one not the Christmas one?
No.
I've not seen the animated.
I think the animated one was the Halloween one, I believe.
You used to watch the Tales of the Crypt cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah. It was on Nickelodeon.
But Nickelodeon had a few, didn't it? Was Are You Afraid of the Dark? That was on Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah. I can't remember. I think you're right.
That was well spooky. Any other news? What's going on?
Any other news? Last thing, I saw that apparently Saban Films have acquired Wrong Turn Reboot for a North American release. Saban Films. Wasn't that what made Power Rangers? Saban. I kind of feel like I remember that. But when was the last Wrong Turn movie? And is a reboot really going to be anything different? Is it just going to be a almost straight to DVD / straight to on-demand sort of thing?
Saban. I swear they pronounce it Saban. I always thought it was Saban.
Saban
is putting their weight behind it. It's got to be big. It's got to be massive. What 40 is million. Saban? It's
Power Rangers.
It's the Power Rangers thing, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've just searched Saban Films and there's a lot of stuff I don't recognize, so depends. They made a film called The Silencing this year. This year with what's his name for Game of Thrones? Nicolaj.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That one. So that's interesting. There we go. That's it, really, for horror news.
I'd like to see a Zordon spin-off movie.
Or Bryan Cranston.
The Adventures of Zordon. No, the original. The one from the first Power Rangers.
He's just a head, though.
Yeah. I was going to drink a glass of milk the other day. I looked in the reflection and I looked exactly like Zordon.
Wait, you looked in the reflection of what? The milk
bottle? In the glass of milk I was holding it up.
Oh, in the glass. I've got you.
Power Rangers. Great. Powerful, yeah.
It could have been worse. You could have looked and thought, oh, I look like Rita Repulsa today. Jesus. It's probably the big hat I got on.
But is Zordon a head in a big jar?
No, he's not. Is he? He's a man, right? From the film, I remember he's a man lying on like a bed of crystals, and it doesn't look comfortable. And even as a kid, I looked at that and went, "That looks uncomfortable." But his back is absolutely killing me. And at the time, I had no concept of what back pain was. Now, 33, it's my bread and butter. So now I see it and I go, bloody hell, Zordon.
He's not one of those monks who's like in constant pain, but he's handling it. And that's how where he gets spiritual.
Life's too short. Just get yourself on the sofa, feet up, slippers on.
Get slippers. Johnny Five, whatever his name is, to whip you up a pot noodle.
Johnny Five. I'll tell you what, though. Alpha Five looks like a hi-hat, doesn't she?
Is it a she?
I believe. Again, might be a gender fluid being. We don't know how she identifies, but I'm pretty sure she is referred to as a she.
Interesting. I did not know that. I have to reassess my life now.
Yeah, it's worth doing. You know, every once every couple of weeks, I do it. So yeah. good old reassess. Have you been watching anything of note this week?
So I didn't mean to go pretty northern then. So I've been watching. November is my Takashi Miike month. So I figured every now and again I like to sort of dip quite deeply into a certain director. Last time I think it was Sion Sono, and this time it's Takashi Miike. I've seen some stuff before, and I was like, there's like 100 movies I need to watch, I need to branch out and discover a bit more of Miike. So yeah. I watched Ichi the Killer for the first time, which is a big one, and I know I probably should have seen it a long time ago. I remember it was on like a university. They had like a film night and they were playing Ichi the Killer, but I mean, now that I've seen it, I'm pretty hardcore when it comes to horror movies and like gore scenes, but there were a couple of scenes in this where even I was like, Jesus Christ, that's pretty rough. I'm not going to spoil
that's
anything,
too
but
far.
It's like some torture scenes where this guy hangs a Yakuza guy with hooks, like a skin hook. So that bit's fine. But then he's like, he's making tempura in like deep fried in like hot oil. Yeah. And he pours the hot oil over the guy's back. And it looks, I mean, it just looks like it's actually happening. Yeah. I mean, some of the CGI is not good. Kind of ludicrously bad. But and the story itself, I've no idea quite what was going on.
Is he itchy throughout the whole film?
Here's the thing about Ichi the Killer. So you I'm guessing, have you seen Ichi the Killer?
I've not seen Ichi the Killer, no. Or at least I don't think so. I look at some of the visuals of it, I'm like, yeah, I have seen that, but no, I think I'm just familiar with the poster.
For people who haven't seen Ichi the Killer, when we think of the poster, we think, oh, the guy with the scars on his face and the blonde hair. That's some other guy, some other character in the film. Ichi's someone else. But like all of the promotional work is around that guy. I think his name's Kakihara.
Is he a good guy?
No, he's the one who poured the oil on that guy's back. yeah, that was worth a watch if you like utterly insane Japanese Yakuza films.
Yeah.
Also, Takashi Miike, who watched The Happiness of the Katakuris, which is made in the same year, which is like The Sound of Music. But, it's like this Japanese family, they have a hotel guest house in the hills, and then everyone who stays there for some reason dies, and they keep having to bury the bodies because...
that poster looks absolutely mind-bending.
They keep having to bury the bodies because they don't want to get a bad rep. The hotel, and it's also a musical, and it every now and again it will flash into animation, kind of stop motion animation, like claymation stuff. It was like bonkers, absolutely bonkers, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh my God.
I've still got Audition, which I'm going to rewatch.
Yeah. Which he did 13 Assassins as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that.
That's pretty good.
Audition was quite grounded. He was saying, Audition would be like a lovely, relaxing, enjoyable watch after Ichi the Killer. I think it's kind of made me want to watch Ichi the Killer as well. Because this month I want to watch Akira for the first time in a while. And I do want to watch Memories of Murder as well.
Which one?
I saw that got like a re-release. So it's the guy who directed Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. It's from 2000.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like it's like a crime drama, possibly with some comedy elements. But it's one of those I don't think I've seen because I went through a big old phase. I think in like my late teens into early 20s where I loved Korean cinema, but I think I still miss some of the big ones, so this is one of them, I believe. So definitely need to check it out.
Yeah, you should watch Ichi the Killer.
Yeah,
maybe do it alone. and they went out for the round.
Yeah, okay.
What about you, seen anything?
Well, I saw you rewatched Into the Spider-Verse as well.
That was an accident.
Fell into it.
I was about to put His House on, the new horror movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
Slipped, put Into the Spider-Verse on. And once that starts, you can't stop. Yeah. It's just so fluid, that film.
Oh, man. Jesus Christ. So much. So I watched it with my daughter for the first time. I was a bit like, oh, we should watch this. Oh, it's got Spider-Gwen in it. And it's got like a little Asian girl with a spider robot. It's really cool, like loads of different. And she was a bit like, I don't know. I don't really like Spider-Man, but she loved it. I was kind of the same. I think I watched His House, but then as I was pressing play on His House, I think I saw it pop up and I was like, hang on a minute, Spider-Verse is on it. But I think I'd already committed. I think I'd even already tweeted that I was watching His House.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I tweet before. I know. So I was a bit like, oh, I can't really take it back. Okay, watch it. So I saved it for the next day. It is. As I think I mentioned, I think every frame of this movie is like amazing in some way.
Oh, okay.
Apart from maybe Kingpin.
His House.
I'm talking about Spider-Man. I'm talking about Spider-Man still.
Yeah.
I think apart from maybe the fact that Kingpin is a massive cube man, but I kind of like that as well. But just like there's so many little things you notice, you know, little splashes of color. Little things happening in the background, little techniques of animation that you maybe miss. I mean, this was only the second time I'd seen it. It's the first time since the cinema.
It was Kat's first time watching it, and she was laughing at the bit where Spider-Man takes the bagel and the people in the he took a bagel, and then he started to chase him. And also the Peter Porker, that do you float through the air when you smell a delicious pie? That line is so good. Yeah, it's a great film.
Nicolas Cage is Spider-Man Noir as well. It's great. There's so many good characters in there. Like, I think the Prowler is amazing. I think, as we mentioned before, like the soundtrack when he turns up is terrifying. It's a good Dr. Octopus as well, I think. Like a hateable Dr. Octopus as well.
Really interesting. The female version,
it's a great movie. And we're getting a sequel, and obviously that's been delayed, but can he wait, lad? Can he wait? Have you seen anything else apart from that? Did you watch His House?
No, I've not seen it yet. I will watch it. Is it good?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Sort of like a really good psychological horror with like a human story at its core. And then some I don't want to give anything away, but some twists on that. To sort of show horror in a different way, whether it's a metaphor for, you know, the trauma and fear of leaving a war-torn country, or whether it's legitimate stuff as well. Mm. It's good. And there's some good twists in it as well, which I didn't necessarily see coming, but yeah, really good. And I think it would have been I think it's definitely worth a watch if you enjoy your psychological horror.
Yeah. Well, people have been saying it's one of the best horror movies of the year.
I think it's up there because again, I'm trying not to say anything without giving away some quite key stuff, so a bit iffy on that. And I also did watch a couple of nights ago, I watched Ghost Watch, so that's the BBC.
The writer's a guy called Stephen Volk
thing, yeah, that's right, sorry. Stephen Volk, the BBC 1992 mockumentary that was aired, and a lot of people thought it was real. 30,000 complaints. I think it was banned from being shown again on TV for 10 years. And it's good. It's one of those things where you can really tell that it's influenced a few decades of haunted house movies. But it's really well paced. It's really spooky, and it doesn't kind of rely on like cliched stuff. I know you say cliched stuff. This was 1992. But everything's kind of like in full light. Like it doesn't rely on darkness too much, which I thought was quite interesting. And it's a bit like how the Haunted of Hill House and Haunted of Bly Manor hides ghosts and things in the background.
Okay, yeah.
This kind of has done that a few times. So there's a couple of things I thought I saw that I had to you know, rewind or Google to see if did I see something then. And sometimes I was convinced. Sometimes I was proved that yes, there was something there. Other times not. So it's definitely got loads of stuff going on in the background.
Cool. Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that.
By the last like 15 minutes, I think to think that anyone thought it was real, you'd be like, are you an imbecile? But
well,
maybe
30,000 complaints.
Yeah, but maybe people switched off before that, you know?
Yeah, too scared.
Too scared, yeah. But yeah, it's good. It's worth a watch. Worth a ghost watch.
Nice. Yeah, that was it for me, really, for like horror culty stuff. I also watched Patterson, the Jim Jarmusch film.
Oh, yeah. What, with Adam Driver?
Yeah. I liked it, but it's definitely not for everyone. Very slow. Very metered sort of pace. Have you seen it?
No, I've not seen it.
Okay, it's good. And I watched Palm Springs, with Kat as a nice rom-com Friday night Groundhog Day rip-off movie.
That's the new one, isn't it, this year with
Not going to say Christina Ricci, but I don't know her name. Maloney, Christy Maloney, or something. I don't know. It's good. It's got Lonely Island. It's a Lonely Island film.
It's
kind of bonkers in a good way.
I haven't seen that, and I want to see that as well. So, knocking them all out of the park. And then this one,
House of Wax.
The ass of wax.
You get some details on it?
Another Dark Castle one, isn't it? That we've obviously done a few of on their podcast. Official reps of early mid 2000s Dark Castle movie. So House of Wax is a 2005 slasher film directed by Jaume Colette Serra and written by Charles Belden and Kerry Hayes, based on a story by Belden. That's obviously the original, isn't it? The film stars Alicia Cuthbert, Chad Michael Murray, Brian Van Holt, Paris Hilton, Robert Richard, but there's like a little apostrophe between the R and the Chard.
I see that.
Robert Richard. It's a loose remake of the 1953 film with the same name. The 1953 film didn't have a Paris Hilton striptease in it. Itself, which is a remake of the 1933 film Mystery of the Wax Museum. Just can't get enough of it, right? So the synopsis is: a group of teens are unwittingly stranded near a strange wax museum. Imagine that. I'm stranded near something. Are you stranded in a wax museum? No, I'm just near it. Oh, that doesn't sound very scary. Stranded near a strange wax museum and soon must fight to survive and keep from becoming the next exhibit.
Yeah, so IMDb has it at 7.1. That seems a bit high, actually, for what I thought it would be. Rotten Tomatoes, 28% critic, 44% audience score. Letterboxd at 2.6. A few choice reviews from Letterboxd. We've got Todd Gaines says, House of Wax deserves for you to at least give it a chance. It's criminally underrated and one of the most entertaining horror movies of the 2000s. All of the 2000s. And he gives it 4 stars. It's one of the best things of the 2000s. 4 stars. You get that on Letterboxd quite a lot. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. 4 stars.
Yeah. This is the best movie I've ever seen. 4 stars.
Tara says, unpopular opinion. Paris Hilton wasn't that bad in this film. 3 stars. And then Don put, should be called Town of Wax. 0.5 star.
Do you know what? I think the exact sentence came out of my mouth. This film should be called Town of Wax.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if it should, because not the house itself is made of wax. The town isn't made of wax, is it? They're normal buildings.
I know, but they got wax people all around in the town. You can't call it House of Wax plus some other wax people nearby.
Well, it's like that. There's a House of Wax, and some of the people from the house have got out.
Yeah, they got out. Yeah, I know what you mean. And that probably does make more sense, but I did like the thought of thinking that.
Town of Wax would be the sequel. I bet they thought about that.
Yeah.
And then City of Wax. Jesus, can you imagine?
City of Wax. City of Wax. State of Wax.
House of Wax.
Country of Wax. Yeah. Everything's bloody wax, mate, you know? It did make me sort of a bit, I don't know what it was. I got a weird sort of icky feeling when there's like loads of wax just when someone people are getting sprayed with wax in this film, I was a bit like,
yeah, it's a, something quite disturbing about the concept.
Concept of wax, yeah. I don't want to sound like a weirdo, but wax kind of freaks me out. It's liquid one minute, then the next minute.
And but it's also there's a point in between, like where the walls are melting, and they kind of come like, you know, like I think it's like kind of chocolate that's on its way to melting.
Yeah.
Like Easter eggs, you know, when you knock it on the side and it's not, it's a bit above room temperature. It doesn't kind of snap in. It kind of collapses, warps. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I just kept, all I kept thinking about, right, is just the logistical nightmare of making a house of wax. Because we're made to think that, you know, there probably weren't many hands on deck making this house of wax.
Yeah.
The logistical nightmare of it, just like.
Yeah, well, they've got that wax machine. They just.
Yeah, but that's down in the basement. Are you making old walls of wax? A staircase of wax, a bed of wax.
Here's how you make a wall of wax. You get a pillow, take out the stuffing, fill it with wax, and then sort of shape it and wait for it to dry. Take the pillow off, put cover off. You've got a brick then. Do that a million times.
He's got to have like a blowtorch on him that he's using constantly. Oh, if anything,
he's got that spoon, hasn't he? Constantly spooning things into shape.
The thing is, I was more impressed by it than anything else. Just the thought of it. I kind of wanted to see a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The best thing about the film
is the set production. Like, it's a pretty good audio through, but then when it all starts to melt around them and the feet are like sinking into the wax and stuff, I was like, how the hell is this actually a house of wax?
I reckon it is. I reckon they built a house of wax and then just it's on fire, fight your way out. Oh, right, okay, so it's just a stunt, is it? They're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Get your way out.
There's like, also... so many... I mean... So the idea about the two brothers and that they've got separated, like, that's played so much and, like, so on the nose. It's kind of fun, the way they kind of do it. But there's only when the knife comes through the wall and, like, separates the wax babies.
It's good, though,
and then the way they landed. Yeah, it is. I like it. I like that stuff.
It was good. Like, it was on the nose. It was like, that is utterly ridiculous, but I kind of like
that. Campy fun,
but also the attention to detail. And obviously, it's only been a few episodes ago that we did Siamese twins split apart in a basket case. So it's nice to come back to it again already, to be fair. Conjoined twins.
Yeah. I mean, so the film starts. What? Hang on a sec. We've got Alicia Cuthbert. She's in a few things. The Ranch.
She's in The Girl Next Door, which I think the first time I saw her. She's in a film called. Oh, I almost said Buried, but it's not that. It's like she's trapped somewhere. She's only gone and got bloody trapped somewhere. It's called Captivity.
Okay. Huh. Don't know that one.
She just like wakes up, it just being kept somewhere. I can't remember much about it.
Help, I'm being kept somewhere.
Help, I'm being kept somewhere. There was a good few years, I think, from here, from like 2004's The Girl Next Door through to like, well, maybe 3 or 4 years. She was the biggest thing in teen comedies and horrors, really.
Yeah, she was in Old School as well.
She was, but just surely a minor role in that, right? I can't even remember. I don't remember her in it.
I don't really remember, to be honest. Chad Michael Murray, who is playing a sort of badass in this film.
I thought for ages that him and Elisha Cuthbert's character were a thing. For ages.
What?
They have got... They're twins.
Which I've just realised is because the killers are twins as well. It takes twins to beat twins.
Twins to beat twins, yeah. I don't know what it was. Maybe I missed a line or something, but I almost felt like they had a bit of history. It felt like they were...
They're creepy twins. Out of all the twins in this film, they're the worst.
They're the creepiest, Leave the Town of Wax twins alone. These twins are the weird ones. Think of the film from their point of view, not the protagonist. Think of the film from the antagonist's point of view. Creepy weird twins coming into their town, messing up their
garage,
literally building their bloody melting their house of wax down.
Yeah.
Human.
You know, I think the craftsmanship of the evil twins is really good. I think if they just got them into Warhammer or something when they were kids, that would have taken over. That would have set them right. Or like giving them a Sabutio set or something.
Yeah, they might have been all right. Or they might have instead developed a really dangerous habit of turning the people into Sabutio figures rather than wax. Just sticking their feet to a big...
Oh, look at this amazing football disc. Pitch. Why is everyone... Why are all the players on, like, half dome shapes?
Yeah, why are they getting flicked in order to get the ball?
Why is the ball twice the size of the players?
Yeah. That's what I have. Sabutio was good, but I felt like it was something that I could never fully...
Yeah.
Get into. I reckon I could play it for 10 minutes and then I'll have my fill.
Well, I never played Sabutio.
I could never play it for longer than that because my finger would be like hurting from flicking it.
Yeah, also the players would go flying across the room. It's difficult.
Yeah. You go under the bed.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you look up and your Mega Drive's there with FIFA 96 on it and you go, I'm just going to play that.
Yeah. Who else? So Chad Michael Murray is the guy from One Tree Hill, if you've ever seen that.
That's it, yeah. That's it.
He was the teen heart throb in that. The other one, Jared Padalecki, we all know from Supernatural.
Yeah, I didn't read him out, did I?
No,
I think I just avoided saying his name. Just,
oh, you
I
didn't
did.
Read Jared? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't want to say Padalecki?
Didn't want to say it, no. Didn't want to mess it up.
It's funny, in Supernatural, Cat constantly called him a moose. And for seasons, for so long, she called him a moose. And then at some point, one of the characters called him a moose. So there must be something about him that is quite moose.
Moose-like.
In this film, he hasn't quite developed the moosey look. But like later on in life...
Is he Canadian?
I don't know. Maybe.
What's the other Supernatural guy? Jared Eccles, is that it?
Jensen Eccles. This one's Jared.
Yeah, it'd be mad if they were both called Jared. Do you know what really annoys me?
Just Jeff Eccles.
Such a really niche annoyance. But those Supernatural actors always get like attached to superhero characters in films. Yeah. Like, oh, wouldn't this guy be a great Nightwing? Oh, this guy, he'd be a great... It's been going on for 10 years now. They haven't been cast as superheroes. I know one of them's in the new series of The Boys, but they're not going to get cast as Nightwing. Stop making up fan posters with them mocked up in these characters. The ship has sailed. Maybe when Supernatural first came out, it would have been an ideal time, but the ship has sailed. So stop saying my dream casting for Batman is these two guys in it. I'm like, no.
I'm going to take it that you're not a Supernatural fan.
No. No. I just think sometimes some actors seem to be they're more prolific in TV, aren't they? And when making that transition onto the big screen is difficult. And sure, he's fine in this, but I don't think either of them have got enough star power to helm a major blockbuster.
I think the thing is they kind of got trapped in their own success because Supernatural was like one of the biggest, longest running TV shows in a long time. I don't think they really had time to do other things. Jared Padalecki is also from Gilmore Girls. That was where he was. Yeah. And I think Chad Michael Murray was as well. I don't know. I think they could be superheroes. I don't have a personal fan casting. But you're right. I think they've done amazing with Supernatural. Why?
Well, I think the perfect thing for them to do now is like, you know, a role in The Boys for one of them is good because it's almost like a deconstruction of the superhero genre. But, you know, you can imagine them being in something like that, popping up. But I don't want to see them lead a...
Jared's in Friday the 13th remake as well.
Ah, okay. Didn't know that, but there we go.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jared. Well, he doesn't last very long in this film, does he?
He gets the worst death. Yeah. Really,
he gets a very painful beginning to his downfall, doesn't he?
He waxes his eyebrows off. It's one of the most painful.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's one of the most painful things. If you've ever tried pulling some eyebrow hairs out, reduces you to tears, like, instantly.
To be fair, I can imagine getting a whole eyebrow taken off in one go is probably better than each hair individually being plucked out.
Yeah, that'd be worse.
Give me all that pain in one go, yeah. Please.
There's the other guy as well. I think his name's Blake. He is from something else. I'm sure of it, but I'm not too sure what.
The guy who's going out with Paris Hilton.
Oh, maybe it's not Blake.
There's a guy in a red hat in there. That's literally all I remember about him.
Yeah.
He is in. He is definitely in, like, a spoof film. And I'm just trying to check if I can see what it is. Scary Movie. He's in a Scary Movie as someone called Bobby Prinz, which I guess is a riff on Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah, he's definitely in a Scary Movie. And apart from that, he's in Meet the Parents in a role as well. Maybe he's like a brother. He's in the Faculty, but his role is boyfriend of girl.
In the Meet the Fockers, he's the stoner brother.
Yeah.
Son of Robert De Niro. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Paris Hilton as well. I forgot about.
Paris Hilton.
Probably the biggest name in the show, I guess.
It's kind of what everyone seems to think of when they think of this.
That's her face on the poster, right?
See, yeah, I guess so, but that never happens to her, does it?
No.
It doesn't. That's false advertising. but yeah, it seems to be, you know, when I put it out on Twitter that I was watching House of Wax, that the several replies I had were all Paris Hilton gifs. So I think people either kind of remember this because it's pretty much the only film of note she was in, is it not? Like, I know she's in something called The Hottie and the Knotty, which I think is one of the worst films ever made. I think I remember seeing it on a IMDb list of shite. I mean, she's been in loads of stuff, loads of movies, but it doesn't look like
not all of them porn movies.
Not all of them, no. Not exclusively all of them. She was a club goer in The Cat in the Hat. She was in a film. She hadn't been in a film since 2010, which was The Dog Who Saved Christmas Vacation.
It's funny because I think she was kind of social media famous before social media was, I think, like MySpace kind of era.
Looks like she was also in Supernatural.
Oh, hang on. Don't read too much. That's my quiz. That's one of my quiz.
Okay.
Quiz questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so. And then there's a guy, Brian Van Vogt Holt, who plays both of the evil twins.
Does he?
Yeah. Plays both of them, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. I recognise that dude as well, but I don't know what from.
Alicia Cuthbert plays both of the good twins.
Yeah. He was doing every bloody job in that time, wasn't he? Jesus.
What is the job? I mean, he had the garage, but I don't think he really knew what he was doing. He's just playing around with cars.
Yeah, the garage. Wasn't he a priest at one point?
No, I don't think he was. He was wearing a black shirt and he was standing at the pulpit. But
he came out in a black shirt and I went, "What, are you a priest or something?"
You know what? He looked very preachy, priesty, yeah. Even not preachy.
He did.
Well, that as well.
He looked like preacher. He looked like preacher. That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, I know what you mean. okay, so we start off with a group of teens are on their way to an American football game. I think. Is that right? Introduced to all of the different relationships and dynamics in the characters.
There is like a very brief sequence in there where it's like a kid, it was obviously like supposed to be years ago. There's like a kid eating a cereal nice and quietly, like a good boy, but then a little naughty kid comes in screaming his head off. I say naughty kid, but then he's obviously being abused. His parents like strap him into his chair, gaffer tape him up, and then
his wrists are like cutting against the straps and stuff.
Yeah, so. And that's pretty much that. And then at the same time, the mother, we don't see her face, she's making some sort of like wax mask. So this is obviously where the wax originated. Oh, I bloody love wax, don't you? Yeah, I love it. That's where it's starting.
Yeah. If you ever been to like a wax museum, like Madame Tussauds or anything like that?
Yeah, yeah, I've been to some weird ones. I think I've been to like an official Madame Tussauds, and there's the SS Great Britain boat in Bristol, which I'm pretty sure is still now is even more so like a weird wax thing. So now you can go onto the ship, and there are like people in the cabins and around the ship doing various things. They're like wax people. And that's pretty weird. Creepy. And they got like little speakers in with them as well. So you like hear the people talking and babies crying and stuff.
Yeah.
But now I think they've expanded it into like a bit of a harbor market or something. And there's loads of weird figures around there. Very creepy.
Yeah, it is quite weird. I don't know. Maybe. I think maybe I was in Amsterdam and I think maybe I saw some wax things.
There's a football museum in Manchester which has got some wax people, I think. I think it's got Michael Jackson.
Ah, the football museum. Yeah. That's a weird shaped building.
They've got Michael Jackson. Yeah, because he was into Exeter. He was into like Exeter City at one point because Uwe Geller was like the chairman or something. Michael, come over and have watch Exeter City versus Lincoln City down at the old Exeter ground. And he was like, "Yeah, all right."
Okay, so the kids are on their way to the car.
Yeah.
So you break yourself a little bit there. Kids are on a football game to see Exeter City. And Carly is with her boyfriend, Wade. They're getting on quite well. The brother, Nick, is Wade. and Nick's apparently been in prison for some reason or another.
He's absolutely nails as well, doesn't he? They talk about it. They go, "Oh, you couldn't keep a job for more than 2 weeks." He's just like, "I don't give a fuck, mate." And they go, "And you're always getting into trouble with your parents." He's like, "Bloody twats. Grow up, mate. You're about 35.
Yeah, he comes across as like super petulant. Just,
yeah.
He was the kid that got strapped down at the start. And he didn't get to watch Fox Kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they're on the way to the game. I can't remember. Oh, it's too far away or something. So they figured I'll camp out in some woods, which sounds really strange to me. I don't know if I think I have actually done it before, but only I like stayed in a lay-by in my car for a couple of hours. But I don't think I've just set up a camp and started drinking. And
no, it's like a massive camp as well. It's like one of those like 25 berth tents they set up as well.
Yeah.
It's like an absolute beast of one. But yeah, they're all getting drunk and like making out, and they're filming it all the time for some reason. The amount of times someone starts filming someone necking is like ridiculous. Like Paris Hilton and her boyfriend can have an intimate moment without someone sticking a camera in their face. Was this before or after the infamous sex tape? Because who's to say?
I think it was before. Only because the only reason I know that is because in researching the trivia.
In researching the trivia, I had to watch it all right, and I thought, God, she looks green.
One night in Paris, one morning after in Paris.
Yeah.
Then another Tuesday in Paris.
Another Tuesday in Paris.
Midnight in Paris. That's a Woody Allen film, actually, but quite kinky. So what was I even talking about?
So like,
they're filming it.
Pickup truck pulls up and like just front smack, like his headlights just glaring in her face. That annoys me as well. You know, I was thinking this. I was thinking, come on, he's only got his headlights on. That annoys me when
full beams when you're driving
is annoying. But also, just opposite where I live, someone gets home from work at about 1 a.m. and whenever they do, they sit in their car, like with the radio on, with full beams on, and it shines into my bedroom, and it annoys me almost every day.
That is annoying. Yeah.
That is annoying. Yeah.
How could you get back at then what could you do to
throw a beer bottle at one of their at one of the things and go, let's it annoys me sometimes. I go out for a run, like, this obviously is silly, but go out for a run like late at night, and I get annoyed when like a car like slowly idles up like alongside you, because I'm just like, what are you fucking doing? Leave me alone. Or when you're running towards a car and they put their full beams on, and you just think they can just see you with your lily white legs running towards them, like, ah, so bright.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan of the full beam. So I understand the anger of Chad Michael Murray's character, Nick Jones, when he throws a beer bottle, smashes one of the headlights.
Yeah. And the guy didn't get out of his car. He just sort of reverses away, whimpers away with his tail between his legs.
Yeah. See you later, mate.
Next morning. I think someone's been at the camp because the camera's missing.
And the car's been tampered with, and
all the rear has been cleaned out of wax. Now, where's that wax gone?
Oh yeah, that was, you know, that was also another thing. Is I was watching it with Charlie, and she said, "Where did they get all this wax, though?"
Yeah,
and then where I was thinking, "Oh yeah,
to be resourceful."
Have to be resourceful. Yeah, exactly. Before they kill anyone. Get those ears cleaned out.
He snuck up with some cotton buds.
I went, oh yeah, that's a lot. Oh yeah, there's loads in there, you dirty bastard.
People's ears on the guidance. What are you supposed to use them for? That's exclusively what the people buy them for.
He obviously just goes into a candle shop. Just goes, I'll have all the bloody candles, please.
Yeah,
which all candle of them. All of, different...
all of them. Yes.
All of them. Every flavour. Is it a flavour?
Mate. No. It's weird. I wonder what scent his house made when it burnt down. I think it had like what they call Yankee Candle, Yankee Candle Christmas nutmeg or something. Or
someone walking past smelled that and went, whatever that is, let's patent it because it smells great.
Well, I reckon it'd be landing.
Specific childhood memories. It doesn't look like it would smell nice, though, because it looks kind of like greeny, beige. It doesn't look pleasant, does it, really?
It looks like earwax is what it looks like.
It
it's quite yellow.
Like earwax, yeah.
It's just all earwax, All those people in that town, took all their ears earwax before he...
That's like a hillbilly character. He had loads in his ears, I reckon.
He had a surplus of earwax in those ears.
Yeah, absolutely loads. He had a quart of earwax per ear, and it reproduces like every other day, so it's all good.
So anyway, next morning they wake up, ears are cleaned out, cameras are gone, and then
the car's fan belt has been done in. I felt that because that was the first thing that ever went wrong with the first car I ever had. The fan belt went, so I went, oh yeah, that is annoying. Because I reacted in a similar way, which was like, the what?
It's the thing is about cars, like, I've not owned cars that long, and I've had many problems with my cars. And I feel like every time something happens, I go, oh, okay, so I feel like I know all the things that can go wrong now. And every single time, there's like some new thing. The what's broke?
Some other
weird little hinky little part that wasn't never existed before that day.
It's like you're collecting. Can you hear that rain? Listen.
That is crazy rain.
That's crazy rain. It's wax. It's just wax being poured down my house, just outside. I know what you mean. It's almost like I'm collecting every single part, like to make a new car, essentially.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if it was the same part that went wrong, because I'd be like, I know, okay, I know what the situation is. Fan belt's gone, or brake pads need replacing, sure. But the...
I suppose it's because if you're getting something fixed, hopefully that should last a lot longer than everything else.
True.
There's got to be a new thing. Otherwise, you'd be like, hang on a minute, I only had that replaced last year. Ah!
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so what's her name is going for a wee? No, what's she doing? She's going through the woods for some reason. Is she going for a wee?
No. There's a horrible smell. There's a bad smell in the air, and everyone's like, "God, that bloody stinks to high heaven." And for some reason, Carly, and referred to as Carly because Alicia can't deal with it. Carly, goes off to like see what's coming from over here, that smell, and then she like falls down a mini ravine into like arms first into basically dead animal soup.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's really gross. So slimy. Load of roadkill, loads of deer and stuff like that. And there's like a hand sticking out of the coop.
Yep, there's a hand sticking out. She's like, oh, dead bodies as well. How can this get any worse?
Yeah. So they're screaming. Everyone runs up, helps her out. Again, she doesn't really wipe her hands on anything. You know, like in Saw, when he sticks his hands in the poo, he doesn't wipe it off on anything.
This is pre-coronavirus, right? I think we're so aware of needing to wash our hands for anything. We don't realise that in 2004, 2005, people just let their hands be covered in shit and just went around.
Or like dead animal goo.
Shaking hands with people.
Willy-nilly.
Nice to meet you. Pre-coronavirus.
Picking their teeth straight afterwards.
Cleanest ears you ever could see.
Yeah. There's the guy there who's dropping off a dead thing, and he says, oh, if you want a fan belt, there's a town around the corner. I'll drive and drop you off at the fan belt shop.
It's probably worth saying that this guy, who's like a bit of a hillbilly, he's driving a truck. It's not the same truck as the one before, though, is it? It's just a different one. He does confirm that it's not actually a dead body in the animal soup. It's just a wax arm.
Just a wax arm, yeah.
Which makes it so much better. But still, this guy doesn't give you any reason to believe he's trustworthy, but they get in the car with him. Yeah. We'll let him take us to the next to the town.
He's a really creepy guy. He's like just gawking at Carly in the car, even though Wade's there as well. And Wade looks like he could eat this guy. This guy's very small, but he's got a big knife.
Yeah, he has got a big knife. And there's a moment, obviously, where they notice he's got a big knife. But he notices that they notice, and he goes, well, you want to see it? You want to see this here knife? Yeah?
They get into the town. And there's a bit of an awkward moment because they're like, we'll walk the rest of the way. We don't want you to... and he says, like, why? And they're like, well, you probably voted Conservative. they're trying to
vote for the bloody Liberal Democrats, didn't you? The what? Get out of here.
So they're trying to, it's a bit of an awkward bit where they're like, we don't want you to help us anymore because you're freaking us out a little bit.
Yeah,
he's like, sure,
though, it is one of those moments where you're in a film and you go, why are you staying in the car? He's clearly definitely got something he's not telling you, a bit wrong. And they kind of do what you expect you want people to do in horror films like this, but then they walk around the corner and the town's right there, so a bit embarrassing. They turn around like that. Wap, wap.
So the town's dead. It's a small town. It looks like one of those kind of old-fashioned kind of towns, like the little pet shop. They even stop by one of the little puppy bits, and they're like, oh, look at the cute puppies.
Looks a bit like a smaller version of Derry. In it reminded me of that a bit, so it feels like a bit sort of stuck in the past a tad.
There's the House of Wax.
This is kind of ridiculous because they see that there's a House of Wax, and why do they go in, you know? I think just before they sort of interrupt a funeral. They go to a local church, they interrupt a funeral in progress, and a dude comes out.
It looks like a preacher.
And then looks like a preacher, but then it turns out he's a mechanic, and they say, oh, we need a fan belt. He's like, you interrupted a funeral for a damn fan belt? Yep. And I think they should feel silly about that. I'd feel silly.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no way. Does it say it's a funeral? There's nothing that says it's a funeral, is there?
I think he just says there's a funeral in there. That's it. I think he just goes that I'm halfway through a funeral here.
Yeah. Well, why did you come out? You're the preacher, aren't you? Can you get someone else to?
He's like, oh, well, I heard a knock on the door, and well, we're a bit short staffed, so I do everything now. Do the catering, do the funerals, open the door.
So he says, I think he said, like, we'll meet you at the garage in an hour.
Meet you at the garage after I'm done with the funeral. Yeah, pay me by the hour.
So Carly and Wade decided to visit the House of Wax, which does look quite enticing. It's got like a big, it says House of Wax in big cool writing on the side.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they go inside.
And I'm assuming the sign is even made of wax, right?
So yeah, it bounced at the end. Yeah.
What if there's a really hot day?
Yeah.
A really hot day. Then what? Does it just warp a bit? Gets a bit wobbly.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, how hot? I mean, wax. Does you mean your candles don't like melt on summer's day, do they? Like,
that's a good point, Luke. That is a good point. Didn't think of it like that. But in this, there's like a fire in the basement, and later on, like a two floors up is melting. Mental. They had a wax expert on set every single day. Now that would never melt like that. Oh, don't really make for a good story though. For waiting an hour and a half for it to melt.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what happens to this bit. I mean, that the house of wax is full of creepy looking wax people.
Yeah, everyone, all the wax figures have got like weird sort of like pained expression. Like weird smiles. There's a bit where there's like a dog completely still for some reason. It just knows how to do that. And Wade like goes up, oh, look at this fake dog, and it barks at him and he falls over. That's pretty funny. I just thought, how did they get that dog to do that?
Yeah, it's good.
And basically they just be super nosy, don't they? They break like a maid. I think there's like a jump scare where Wade like bangs on the window and she screams, Carly screams and knocks a wax maid over and it smashes. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty
bad, isn't it? But yeah, after staying in there for a little while, they go out. I think they go with Bo to, I think they meet him at the garage and then they go back to his house because he's like, I'm going to find the right size fan belt for you. But isn't Wade doing a bit of being extra nosy again in the house? He's like walking around eyeballing stuff.
He goes for a wee and then he goes, he's like, look, they've got like, I don't know, like fetuses and jars and stuff like that. And he's like making little noises for the giving him voices. He's got like a whole little scenario playing out with these little things. Oh, hello. And then,
hello there. They're wax as well. Gotta be.
Yeah. The lights cut out, and then we see our killer for the first time. I don't think we see his face, but he's got long hair. Looks a bit like
Tommy Wiseau, doesn't he?
I was going to say a little Mick Gordon Slipknot, but smaller, but more Tommy Wiseau.
That's true. Mick Gordon with the mask is on, definitely works. Also, a bit like the killer in Cherry Falls, even though you don't really see the killer in Cherry Falls' face for a while.
Yeah.
You just see that they've got long hair. And kind of reminded me of that as well. But yeah, so he's obviously got like this wax mask, and I can't remember when it is we find out, but I don't think we find out about him being a twin just yet, do we?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious from the I think we maybe even see the chairs.
That's right. We see the chairs and they're covered in spider webs. So keep them, innit? I mean, if you're going to sling anything out, just keep them. Even though we were obviously abused and had a bit of a rough upbringing, keep them just to remember, if anything.
Isn't it weird? Oh, so, yeah. What if they still sit in them? Why would you keep them?
Just for a laugh.
I guess they don't get rid of much.
Our waxy face is Vincent, and he cuts like Wade's the back of his ankles, doesn't he? His Achilles tendons.
We think he's Vincent, but he's not Vincent, is he? Vincent's the shouty kid who is actually, was the other one? The preacher guy, Gary. Yeah, because he has the cuts on his wrists.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, that's right. So you think he's the other way around.
Yeah. But he cuts thing, he does the Pet Cemetery style. He snips Jared Padalecki's...
I think that, from what I can read here, it is Vincent, the killer. The killer is called Vincent.
But, wait, which one's the kid who they strap down at the start?
I don't think it says which one's which.
Oh, I thought...
I think you assume that that's that, but not long after this, on Bo's wrists, obviously, you see that they're a bit worn down, don't you? So the quiet one is actually the killer. But it does look like the quiet one is called Vincent, as far as I could tell.
Okay, cool.
From on Wikipedia, it might not be 100%, but Victor Vincent.
Okay, so
it's the same actor though, apparently. Brian Van Holt plays Bo and Vincent Sinclair.
Yeah. I think he gets stabbed in the boob with some scissors or something. And then he gets pushed down the stairs. I can't remember what happens, but I think he gets knocked out or something.
Which one is this?
Jared Padalecki.
Yeah.
So this is like the waxification process. He's like, he's shaving. Oh no, he waxes the guy's hair off and eyebrows off, everything off in one go. And also he's kind of awake, Jared Padalecki, but he's obviously paralyzed with some anesthetic or something like that. But he's crying as well, which I mean you would be if you get your eyebrows waxed out. I mean the waxification process, it's a bit weird because it looks, from what I can tell, it's just like they're spraying a load of wax on him. I don't understand how he'll go from that to the end result, which is where the skin has become a kind of wax.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, really, because you just end up with especially if you're getting sprayed with wax, it'd be a very thin layer of wax on you. You
wouldn't mean, like, he'll wait for it to be done, and then he'll stand up, and it'll kind of crumble off of him.
It'll just crumble off, yeah. As soon as the paralyzing thing wears off, you go, what are you doing, mate? Are you trying to turn me into wax? It's almost like...
not how it works, mate.
even like a dipping... probably wouldn't work, but you know, might make more sense. I don't know. But he's obviously got something to hold his head in place, hold his head up. So
it's hot wax as well. It's like boiling. It's like steaming as it hits.
So maybe it's cooking, then like just melting his skin at the same time.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't look nice. Whatever happens, it doesn't look nice. I mean, it's a magical process that somehow turns his skin into wax. Vincent is probably waiting with his spoon to carve. He's probably playing the spoon.
Yeah.
As he's waiting for the waxification process to finish. I bet he's seen Karate Kid, but he only watches it until the end of Wax On. He never watches the next bit. Wax On.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I think then we cut to... what's her name? Carly's having her own... getting some japes with Bo.
Yeah. So she like notices that one of the headlights is out on his truck, which means it confirms that that was a dodgy truck that was there the night before. So she immediately doesn't trust him, like locks him out of his truck, which he gets a bit annoyed about, which I think you would.
At this point, it's his car. Like, why is she stealing his car?
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, I know. But obviously, again... she's a character in this where she does kind of do things. She's like one step ahead of what a horror movie would be.
Yeah.
She's like seeing the potential threats, almost like she's been through this before, seeing the potential threats and kind of cutting them off at the source. Like, oh, this guy's dodgy, lock him out. This guy's dodgy, don't want to ride in the car with you anymore. Which I guess is good and kind of refreshing, but they still end up screwed, really. But he does manage to get her in the end. Like, she runs away, hides in the church. So it's quite a tense scene.
Because
she, like, knocks into one of the wax figures. And then we see that it's, like, a human arm. Like, there's, like, bone and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'd just be like, God, that's a realistic looking wax figure. But she's just made the assumption that that's a real person in there.
Yeah.
She hides under the priest's little gown, which he's loving.
It's called a habit. Is that what a habit is?
It's a bad habit. Yeah, it's a habit. I like the facial expression of the priest in this. He's kind of a bit like, is anybody listening to me? And I just think, how'd they turn him into wax like that? He's kind of doing a bit of a weird double chin, like, yeah.
Who knows how the waxification process works? Because, I mean, maybe it turns him to wax and they're still kind of pliable. He can move them around like a clay man. I don't know.
Why didn't Vincent just go and get a job in a waxing salon, like a beauty salon? He'd be shit hot and waxing eyebrows off.
Yeah.
Shit hot at it.
That's not what they do nowadays, do they? They do the thread thing, threading. You see that one?
Yeah.
Imagine Vincent going to threading.
Oh, I don't want to make a house out of cotton, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I've already got a house of wax.
So what happens? I can't remember what's going on. Bo catches thingy somehow.
He just chases her down outside of the church, grabs her, takes her to the cellar of the gas station, and he's restraining her in a similar way to which he was restrained when he was a kid. And she even notices the marks on his wrists.
Yeah. He glues her lips together.
Yeah, he glues her lips shut. Doesn't he, like, go to kiss her as well? I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah, you get your lips stuck. He wants to reconjoin. I'm tired of being an unconjoined person. Yeah,
that's true. And then around about the same time, the rest of the groups who were heading to the football game got caught in proper bad traffic, right? Proper bad traffic. And so they just turned back. But Carly left a message as well for them, didn't she? Just as she was getting attacked, is that right? She left a message basically saying, look, we've come to this town to get the car fixed. It's proper dodgy. There's ass of wax. And you got to come right now.
Yeah.
So some of them do. So I think Paige and Blake, so that's Paris Hilton and her lover, they stay at the campsite while Nick, the brother, and another, the red hat guy Dalton, they come to the town looking for Carly and Wade, but they get there like pretty much in the middle of Bo super gluing Carly's lips together.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a pretty gnarly bit where Nick's talking to the guy and thingy Alicia Cuthbert gets a finger out of the like the grate, and he just kind of bends down to do his laces and then snips the end of the finger off.
Yeah, it came off really easily, like one of those hot little cheap hot dogs you get in the brine. it just really went boop. I was like,
but he puts also, it in I his thought, pocket.
That's the worst thing to do then, isn't it? Because surely she'd make more noise.
I don't know. He liked it. He was grinning away. He thought it was a funny little joke.
Yeah. But then as he's convinced Nick to like walk away or go look somewhere else, she does manage to pry her lips apart, which looks pretty gruesome, doesn't it? They just look really dry now. I'm like, God, I got to get some.
Yeah. She screams. I quite like Nick in this, actually, from here on. Like, he just seems to crack on. He's like, right, okay, we're in this situation. I'm going to lock you out of the garage. I'm going to hit you on the head with a baseball bat. Like, he's right in there. Because he's been to prison, and this is what they trained him in prison for.
Yeah. He's definitely someone you kind of need on your side in a moment like this. And again, like, there aren't many super frustrating bits in this film where somebody, because, I mean, it is essentially a slasher, but there aren't really stupid stupid bits where people make really bad decisions or do things. You know, people are trying to survive. And
Harry Seldon makes a stupid mistake that annoyed me, but you kind of come to expect it.
I think I know what you mean. We'll get to that, yeah. Bloody hell, Paris. Ruined it for everyone. We're all doing so well. So, Nick gets Carly out, says, oh, your poor little finger. But she, like, she's quite, you know, she manages to make a little bandage for it. She's pretty on it. And what happens after that? So I think the other dude who went to the House of Wax, when he gets there, he finds a perfectly waxed figure.
He finds Wade, yeah.
Of Wade, considering, like, it's not been that long since he's been turned wax.
No.
Vincent has managed to crack this one out, like, so speedily. Wade's got eyebrows. He's even got little freckles. His hair's done nice. He's got a lovely suit on. And he's sat behind the piano, ready to play an Evanescence track.
Probably. We haven't talked about the soundtrack in this.
Talked about the soundtrack, no.
It's full of nu metal. I mean, Disturbed are in there at one point. Who else we got in there? I mean, Mike and McCormick, but they kind of didn't really fit completely with the rest of the tracks.
It's like the end credits song, wouldn't it? But honestly, as soon as the... So we got during like the campfire scene, like early on, there's like three songs. There's like, I think we've got Marilyn Manson, we've got Deftones. Deftones is like right at the start.
Deftones, yeah.
Prodigy. There's loads of stuff going on. And then, of course, Helena, My Chemical Romance is the end credits song. Again, we'll get to that. But like, I had a real pang of like nostalgia when it started playing. So, mainly because, like, I mean, they're one of my favorite bands anyway. I listen to them all the time. It's not like suddenly I'm hearing a song for the first time in years. But suddenly I just remembered 2005. Like, I really, really went back. I was like, Jesus Christ, 2005. Because that was when 2004 and 2005 was when that album came out that Helena was on. And the video, I think, came out in 2005. But I was just like, oh, my God, this really captures, like, a time in the mid-2000s, especially with, like, Paris Hilton being in the film as well. And it just made me go, simpler times, better times. I don't know. Is nostalgia warping my brain and making me think it was better when actually it was a bit shit? I suppose we have got some good stuff now. We've got Alexa. Alexa, play this song.
Broadband. Did we have broadband back then? I feel like it would have been past dial-up, I think, surely.
Yeah, maybe. We'd had 2 megabyte broadband. I've got slightly better broadband now, only slightly better. Man United were winning Premier League titles.
Treble. When was that?
99. Yeah, it was good times. It just really took me back there. I was just like, wow. Like, and I do, it is a time that I enjoyed. And like, I think this movie as well, my enjoyment of this movie kind of helped that as well, because this was much better than I expected it to be in this return. I'm reviewing it already, Luke. I'm just, forget the ending.
I won't go into details just yet, but I've always thought, I mean, I've not seen this for years and years and years, but even back then I remember thinking this was a decent spooky slasher type movie, and it is decent. It's not phoning it in, like, it seems to really be trying and thinking about stuff. But anyway, so Blake, whatever his name is, not Blake, the guy in the red hat, he doesn't last very long. Oh yeah, he tries to, I don't know what he's trying to do. He sees Jared Padalecki and he starts stroking his chin.
What does he do?
And then his cheek falls off and he goes, I'll try and pull it back on for you. And then he's like ripping this guy's like face off.
It's weird because initially he just thinks it's him and he goes like, oh dude, what are you doing sat behind this piano? Come on, we're looking for you, we've got to go.
Oh, look at your cheek, let me touch it.
Wait, what are you doing? Let me touch it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like his whole kind of side of his face kind of falls away, and he's still alive. His eyes are still moving behind the.
He's like,
yeah. So he gets his head chopped off two scissors or something.
Oh yeah, he sure does. So it's like two, it's like two knives, I think, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And the head is like, his eyes are still blinking when the head is severed and rolls over, which is a bit silly, but you know, it's to be expected for 2005 horror.
I think. Have you seen Severance, by the way?
Yeah. What, with Danny Dyer?
Yeah. We need to we need to do that. Because there's a bit in that film where they're always going on about how after you get beheaded, you've still got some life in your head for like a few seconds. Yeah. And then when that character gets beheaded, like he looks amazed because he was right.
Oh, shit. Like
just his head on the floor.
Is that true? I don't know. I mean,
I don't think so.
Seen it.
So while this is happening, I guess Paris Hilton and Thingy get attacked.
Yeah. So they're like, we get some interesting technology here. I saw a very old phone, which I was like, oh yeah, that's good. Like a boom box. Good times. Yeah. Paris Hilton, there's something a bit annoying about this, right? And Paris Hilton does a sexy striptease in some red lingerie. She's getting her boyfriend all worked up, and then she goes and sits down next to him and says, I've got to talk to you about something. I'd be like, you what? You just done that first. Talk to me about something first.
Also, get me all pent up, after that, he goes to turn the music back on, and then when it goes back to her next, she's asleep.
It's mad. Basically, she wants to fit in a whole evening's worth of activity, talk about something, get jiggy with it, go to sleep. But like in the space of about a minute, she's like really rushing it.
Classic Paris.
But yeah, classic Paris. He goes out to turn the. I mean, let's talk about Paris Hilton's performance. It's pretty. Like, it's weird that she's obviously thought of as the main thing of this film. I guess just because of her pop culture. Their effect on pop culture around about the time, but pretty basic, isn't it? She's not got much to deal with.
She does a good job not to like do a really bad job. Like she does a completely fine job. I mean, compared to other slashers of this nature, no different.
Yeah.
Fine.
I got really confused, and I kind of like. Got a bit lost of how she got from the campsite to then being in some weird underground car park.
Well, so I thought they were parked quite a bit away as well, but it turns out because the killer guy, he would have to have killed the guy in the red hat and then got into a car and been driving around like, where the fuck are they? Where are they?
Yeah. This is massive. There's found definitely them. Two more people around there. I could tell.
Yeah. But she runs away. She does go into a garage where it looks like that's where they put all of the clothes and all of the belongings of the people they kill. They're all like kind of loads of clothes stacked up. Paris is doing a good job running away, but then she even gets a weapon. It's like she breaks this piece of pole off. It's got a sharp down here.
Piece of pole.
And she smashes them in the face. And this is the annoying bit. So she's doing well with it, but then she drops the pole for some reason. Like, there's no reason for her not to take it with her.
Butterfingers. Oh, she does. She drops it on purpose.
And I think she just drops it. Like, she hits him with it once, and I think that's where he gets like a little mark in his mask.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's annoying, isn't it? He's worked so hard to perfect that, and she's just come along and twatted it.
He just spoons it back into place, I think.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Using a toaster as a mirror, and he just makes a hot spoon. But how does he kill? So he kills Paris Hilton by
he throws that pole for no reason at all into her head, and it's practical effects as well, so it looks pretty gruesome.
Ah. Yeah, it's good. And she like sort of slumps down onto the pole, head slipping down it, and he even like gets a little video camera out to film it as a wow, that was shit up. That was good. God, did anyone see that? Bloody hell, no. I'll film the aftermath, don't worry.
Yeah.
So Paris Hilton's gone. She got gotted.
So then we've got our leftover twins.
Yeah. And they're like in the main house for some reason. which is a bit annoying, isn't it? And then we see a bit of the relationship between Bo and Vincent. So Vincent comes back, fixes his little wax mask. Bo is like a bit of a bully, I guess. Bit of a bully, bit of a bastard, kind of manipulating Vincent as well, telling him. So they're obviously both unstable murderers, but it seems like they're trying to carry on the work that their mum did to like build this town of wax.
Also, the funeral is her, is their mum, right?
Oh, that's, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So it's the mum and all of the wax figures mourning her death as well. Yeah, pretty intense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure his mother's dying wish wouldn't be, if you can't find any more wax, just get real human beings to be the figures.
Just put wax on the top until they're covered in so much wax, they become wax. It's simple. Yeah. I'll leave you the machine.
Go on, do it. Yeah. Which of you two wants to do it? The disfigured one or the one who ain't disfigured? Because there's...
One of you's got to be the preacher. One of you's got to be the wax maker. Yeah. So, I can't remember what happens there. I mean, they're having a scrap, running away.
They end up... What happens? So they end up chased to... They go, oh, yeah, it's like a cinema, isn't there? It's like a theater/cinema with obviously wax figures. This is to the point where obviously they try and work out how many people are here. Like, oh, there's probably about 25, 30. But when they go into the cinema, the whole cinema is pretty much full with wax figures.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty nuts. So Bo chases them in there with a shotgun. There's a bit where Carly basically pretends to be a wax figure.
Nick shoots. Shoots thingy with a crossbow.
Oh, like a bolt gun. Yeah, like a crossbow. Don't finish him off, though. You think, bloody hell, come on, finish him off. Not like that, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. Kill him.
Nick gets like stabbed in the leg at one point, doesn't he? Oh wait, no, sorry, I've read ahead. I've read ahead. Forget that. And then, rather than leaving him to die. Rather than finishing him off, he sort of comes back and they all end up in the main house again for some reason, like the main museum. I can't remember exactly why.
They're in, it's all linked, I think. So they're in the house. I think they're going to try and find the guy in the red hat because that's where he went to. And then they go down into the basement and that leads under the House of Wax.
And they find the hat, don't they? Then Vincent tries to kill them, and they end up tipping the old cauldron full of melted wax onto the floor, which creates a big fire. And then this is where the final showdown sort of begins, which is where the whole House of Wax, the floor begins to melt away, the walls are melting, the staircase is melting. It's all pretty...
The plates, like she's throwing plates at the guy, and they're made of wax. Like everything is like made of... The books are made of wax.
Yeah, I mean the figures start melting now, and this is pretty gruesome because obviously there's decomposing bodies under the wax, and then the watery wax all coming down looks pretty gruesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's loads of good bits. So this is the bit where she hides in this bedroom, and the thingy slams his knife through and cuts down really slowly, and it separates the heads of the wax babies.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool little touch.
If you need some on the nose visuals, this film's got it.
Nick is trying to go up the stairs, and his feet are sinking into the floor.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It's like when you get home after a few too many.
Yeah,
way too many, and you're walking up the stairs, but there's a thick shag on the carpet.
Oh fuck! Oh Jesus! Oh, can't get up.
Like the center of the house is kind of falling in. What's his name? How does this happen? So the Beau, I think, is dead, and like he falls through the floor, slips through the floor, and lands on something.
Yeah, well, I think first Carly ends up beating Beau to death with a baseball bat.
Oh yeah,
she throws it at him a couple of times, and he like sucker punches her in the face, and we're like, oh Jesus, she got no chance. But then she manages to get like one up on him. Hits him once with a baseball bat. He's down, and then she just bludgeons his face in.
Yeah, smudges, like completely abolishes his face. the floor melts and he falls into the basement. And then Vincent is chasing him around the house. I can't remember exactly how he dies.
I think he ends up getting pushed, doesn't he? Like through the hole, and he ends up falling into the basement, landing directly on top of Beau, exactly where they were conjoined.
Yeah.
And then as the house is the while where there's like a wax like water level like coming up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all pretty cool.
And they've got to like dig their way out of the walls to escape.
Yeah, they did their way out of the walls and it's melting and they're sort of getting crushed by it, but they managed to get out. It's all pretty good. Like visually it looks good. There's a few good shots of it, like from afar when it's melting down. Yeah. I liked it.
So they get out, the police arrive somehow. And as they're collecting the bodies and stuff, they say, oh, there was three brothers. And as they're leaving, they see the guy waving, the guy who dropped them off at the town in the first place.
He's got the dog.
Smiling his head off for some reason.
Yeah.
Has no idea what's going on.
Setting up a sequel, Town of Wax.
City Wax.
Yeah,
Godzilla versus House of Wax.
Flame. Human Torch versus House of Wax. We know who's going to win there. Yeah, so it feels like a setting up for a sequel, but it kind of felt like it just needed a little stinger at the end, didn't it? Just to set it apart a little bit. This film felt really long. Like, I enjoyed it, but it felt felt super long for a bit longer.
Yeah. All right, so we've got some trivia, if you're ready for it.
Yeah.
For okay. One, Jared Padalecki and Paris Hilton also appear in another project together. Can you name that?
Jared Padalecki and Paris Hilton. Well, it's got to be Supernatural, isn't it? Considering I almost pretty much ruined the trivia with my last thing.
Yeah, they appeared in an episode of Supernatural centered around the Wax Museum. And there's even a reference to this movie in that episode.
No way.
Yeah.
Get your own ideas.
Number two, Paris Hilton was actually the first to be cast. I've completely ruined the question. Who was the first to be cast in this film?
Was it Paris Hilton?
Correct, yeah. The cast was then built around her. And then the set was built around her. She would not move.
That's too weird late. Though, because like her role is minimal. Her role isn't like...
Yeah.
Take her out of this film and it still works, you know? It's not like...
That makes me think this must be after the big sex tape thing. Because
why would... The big sex tape thing.
Because she wasn't.
How big was the sex tape? Bloody massive.
I mean... Because why would she be like a name? I thought that's what put her
she had,
name.
She had a show, didn't she? The show she did with Nicole Richie. The what was it called? Oh no, I can't remember. It was called. God, I'm literally googling it, but it's not coming up. Simple Life. So there was a show. They had, and it was all over like reality TV. This was first episode 2003, so it's a couple of years after that. So she's obviously established as a household name because of that, and then the sex team just sent her into the stratosphere, as it often does,
where she now lives.
Because we're all horny, where she now lives in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
I think she was in like a documentary, really, talking about her life, where she was like, oh yeah. Everything I did in the early 2000s was a character. This is what I'm really like.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. poor Paris. Okay, so we've got three name game questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, there's this film I watched. It's about a group of teens who find themselves trapped in Liverpool and attacked by a Liverpudlian man made of wax.
The Scouse of Wax.
Scouse of Wax, yep. And there's another film I watched.
Yeah.
It's about a group of teens who are trapped in this house when the killer's trying to turn them into jazz instruments.
Jazz instruments. Trapped in a house. The house of sax.
House of sax. Yeah. And last one is a film I watched, pretty good. It's about a group of kids who get stuck in an Apple store. This one could be a different.
Stuck in an Apple store.
As in, like, iPhone. Apple store.
The house of apps.
No close. But no cigar. It's good, but it's not right.
Give me it then. The house of... Is the house correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
The house of... I don't know.
You're going to kick yourself? It's the house of Max.
See, that's better, isn't it? That's better. I was thinking phone, you see. I was thinking phone more so than computer. If I was thinking computer, I would have got that.
Yeah. You're recording it on this episode on your Mac, right?
I am indeed, yeah. It's right in front of me. That's what you're saying. The answer's right in front of me. I still don't get it. Yeah.
All right, man. So I need to rate the movie. Oh.
Yeah, so I have seen this before, but I didn't remember all that much about it. I remember thinking it was pretty good. But yeah, it's not... It doesn't feel... It's good, campy fun, but it doesn't sort of suffer from the failings of other slashers of the era, which I think can be a bit, you know, predictable, not very likable characters. I mean, I don't think anyone was particularly likable in this, but I didn't hate anyone. And I think that's kind of what happens sometimes in slasher this era. Kind of really unique in the way sort of things happen, some really good kills. And I think the final set piece is amazing. I think it's done really well. Jesus Christ, this is cool. It felt like earned as well. And I said, maybe a little bit overlong at nearly 2 hours. I think if it lost like 10, 15 minutes, especially the first bits, like in a campsite, I kind of feel a bit like...
Bit of nonsense, really.
But but despite that, I enjoyed it and I would like to watch it again at some point. And maybe the sequel, Town of Wax, will arrive, you know, 20 years later. So I'll probably go as far to give it a B-.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I felt similar. I've always kind of liked this one, and I've always felt like it gets a bit of a bad rap. I mean, I think the central idea of turning people into wax figures and the way that happens is kind of nonsense, but it's also kind of perverted. Like, the idea of someone doing that to you is a really horrendous concept. And it does make it really weird when it's Jared Padalecki. When you watch Supernatural and he's like a ghost fighting moose man guy, like, it's weird to see sort of him just get obliterated by a wax. I mean, I was going to go with C+. I think a B-, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm going for a C plus at the minute.
C plus, yeah. I think I'm trying to be a bit more generous with my ratings, because I think one thing I noticed from doing the 31 Days of Horror Hangout thing that we did on Twitter and stuff was that you always rated things higher than me. And there were a few times I was a bit like, did I really rate it that low? So I'm trying to be a bit more generous with my ratings rather than so cynical. So yeah. Maybe I've just given it an extra half a point there. But yeah, there we go.
There you go. Next week, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, next week, Sleepy Hollow. I think Mr. Andy Conduit-Turner is going to be back. You know, can't stay away.
The week after that, we've got The Brood. We've got a guest on for that as well. Cool.
Very exciting stuff. Should be good.
Why The Brood, by the way? Have we done The Fly?
We've done The Fly, yeah. I don't know why The Brood, you know?
I guess after The Fly, that's kind of like the next... After The Fly, it could be any. It could be Videodrome or The Brood.
Scanners, Dead Ringers. But yeah, we've decided to go for The Brood. Very nice.
Right. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating and reviewing, and head over to the Facebook group Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. And yeah, thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude.
Nice one. Pleasure as always, Mr. Luke Condor with a K.
Nice one. Alright, catch you in a bit.
All the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.